Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are about two-thirds of the way through The Dark Forest up to part three, which is a little bit less. It's kind of a short read today, but it was the only stop that made sense.
Yeah.
So, keep that in mind. do you want to get us a little warmed up?
Yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, Luke. Before we get into it, I have to follow up on something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's movie watch.
Ooh, yes.
Over the holidays, I went with my partner's family to the movies. Christmas Eve.
Okay.
We saw Wicked.
Yes. Okay. Good.
Good film, I think. I also had never... I don't know what the musical was about at all. Uh-huh. I feel like there are so many musicals that are really sad. Wicked seems like a really sad story because it takes The Wizard of Oz and is like, hey, you know that character that's like just the bad guy that you have to defeat? Actually, they're kind of like misunderstood and it's everybody else that's the bad guy, in fact.
Right. And it's in a really sad way. And also it's about racism, which is very poignant.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Well, okay. Are we having fun, guys? Is this fun? I mean, they're singing. Anyway,
right.
Good stuff. Good songs. Very moving. That's not what I want to talk about, though, Luke.
Okay. Before you move on, yeah. Can I just say that I saw it in theaters a second time?
Oh, my God, Luke. I mean, great.
Okay, but continue on. Continue.
Here's
on
the deal.
Your thing.
We saw this movie at 8 a.m.
Oh, okay.
My question for you, Luke. Do you get movie snacks at 8 in the morning? Because this was a big challenge for us. This was a big question for us.
This actually is quite relevant because we went at like, I think like 11 a.m.
Yeah, but that's close enough to lunch. I feel like close enough to lunch.
Yeah, so that time we actually, we were like, should we still get them? Yeah, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Was how quick it was. 8 a.m. is tough, though.
Can, like, popcorn at 8 a.m.?
I don't know if you can do popcorn at 8 a.m.
You've just brushed your teeth. You're within an hour of having brushed your teeth. And you're thinking of just getting kernels all up in there. I think that ruins your whole day. Your whole day, you're fishing popcorn kernels out there.
I think it depends on if you're a morning person or not, actually. So, okay, here's my analysis.
Yeah.
Because I think it's perfectly fine to go either way.
Okay.
I think if you're the kind of person who is like, because you did this on a holiday, right?
Christmas Eve, yeah.
And so you're not going to work in the morning, well, obviously, but like it's a day that you could sleep in. It's a day that you could sleep in, right? And so if you're like rolling out of bed at 7, grabbing a quick bowl of cereal and then going to the movies, then I say no popcorn.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. But you're saying if I'm up at 5 a.m. and I get my morning run in, I've had like a full...
Yeah.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Ahead of that.
That's me. I'm a morning person. I get up at like 5:30 and I do all my stuff and then I walk the dogs and whatnot. And so 8 a.m. to me, still early, but I think I'm okay with popcorn. I think I'm still doing it.
It's tough though. Because I feel like popcorn can potentially hit in the wrong way. Do you know what I mean? Like it makes you feel a certain way. Sometimes do you understand what I'm saying? Like sometimes when you get a belly full of popcorn and not much else, you're like, oh, something's happening in here. It's not necessarily bad, but it's just like it gives you a feeling.
It's just like this was calories but not on a nutrition level kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah. Calories and fat and like butter chemicals, whatever those are.
I think this is true. I will say it's kind of what I do every time I go to the movies, and you kind of just got to push through it.
I'm countering your narrative of being a morning person allows for it because you've already had sort of a morning and it's not like one of the first things you're doing. Like your palate has been warmed up by a morning person. No. We have to think about this in the context of the rest of your day. And if the rest of your day you have popcorn feeling from 9 in the morning to like maybe after dinner potentially.
Yeah.
You're not sleeping it off.
I do think that it makes you, it does require a strategy to recover your day. Mm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's like, because of that popcorn, I have to have like a really fresh salad for lunch.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because if you don't do that, it's like, well, my day is kind of weird now.
Yes.
Because of the popcorn, not because of the movie.
Not because of the movie. The movie was great. I will say, so I didn't end up doing popcorn because I was like, okay, this is not a breakfast food for me.
Right.
Some people did. And I will say popcorn is enticing no matter the time of day if somebody else has some. Like,
oh, yes.
When they had it in the popcorn bucket and they were like walking and I could smell it, I was just like, you know what, actually, that would hit pretty good right now. Like, popcorn would hit. And I didn't do it. I was strong. I was like, I'm not going back because I think I wouldn't have a really good time. But it was still just, it speaks to your deep brain, I think. Like, I imagine the first mobile life that existed on this planet would like intuitively move towards some movie theater popcorn.
Yes, I think that's correct. Yeah. Did you get Coke?
No, Luke, that's okay. In the criteria of morning at the movies for me, popcorn is like way above getting a soda.
I think that's true.
There's no way I'm hitting that much sugar at 9 a.m. unless it's in donut form, okay?
Yeah, and I was going to say it'd be cool if they did like a little, you could get a little coffee, but that's, I actually am not hyped for that because then you got to pee and Wicked is like 2.5 hours long.
So I hadn't even thought about that because I was thinking the same thing. Like, they should have a little breakfast option if you're going that early, like a little coffee and donut choice or like a,
yeah.
Because I think that they could make that work. Like, movie theaters are kind of struggling right now, or they were post COVID. I feel like have a little breakfast choices.
But I can't imagine that like their moneymaker is going to be the early morning showing.
I mean, but they're already having them. You might as well get a few more people to show up.
true.
Like, we could buy tickets to 8 a.m. to see Wicked. That means there were staff there on standby ready to show the film.
Okay, sure. Yeah, get it out there. Very good. Okay. It's a tough decision. 8 a.m., kind of a weird time, but I'm happy that you went. Did you cry during the Ozdust duet? Yes, right?
During the what?
The Ozdust duet?
What?
When they dance at the Ozdust?
Oh, that was very sweet. Pay attention. It was very sweet. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Glenda still isn't a good person. I don't think she's good at any point throughout this.
Oh, right. Yeah. She's funny, though.
She is funny. Yeah. Good character. Like, very good characters in this.
Yeah. But,
I will say real quick, Luke, in order to maintain my status as chief predictor, I have no idea the second half of the film. I've never seen the play or anything. 20 minutes after the film, I was like, I'm pretty sure these things have to happen in the second part. And my partner's sister-in-law was like, have you seen the movie? How do you know that? And I was just like, oh, you forgot they call me Sherlock.
They do call you that. I'm glad to hear that you maintain that even when we're not together.
Of course, Luke. Of course. I got to know what's going on.
Okay, cool. My last note is I watched it the second time, even better the second time. So good.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
Okay, that's our warm-up. Let's talk book. Like I said, The Dark Forest up to part 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let me page over to my notes here. Okay. So early on in this, Tyler,
oh yeah,
has his plan revealed by the first wall breaker that we get.
Yeah.
And it was not quite what we had predicted.
No.
But it was kind of bonkers. I don't think that we had a chance of predicting that.
No, it was pretty bad, honestly.
It was very bad. And I do have a note about something in this plan. But my note before I get there is that he like takes this really hard and ends up like committing suicide.
Yeah.
I guess like, okay, you had your plan revealed, but like it was year five, I think.
Correct.
So like, just do another, come up with a new one.
Time to pivot, bud.
Like, that's easy. Like, oh, good stuff, Wallbreaker. You figured me out on that one. I'll try again.
Right. He's like, hey, guess what? Round two. Let's go again.
In hindsight, I'm actually glad because that plan sucked really badly. So now I get to pivot. Great. Thank you.
But also, it could be like a revelation of like, oh, maybe I'm not this grand strategist I thought I was. So my plan should instead be to distract as much as possible. My plan should instead be like, do Dan's plan.
Yes, always. Do Dan's plan.
Do Dan's
plan. We're going to return to our priors here. Or just like, hey, don't do the first plan you think of.
Yeah.
Take a beat again.
Take another swing at it. Take another swing at that ball. That's strike one. You got two more, bud.
Because also, like, now we know who your wall breaker is. He's getting arrested, and I'm assuming they're putting him in jail or something. Okay? I don't have a wall breaker anymore. Or at least, like, maybe they're having to assign a new one to me. I don't get it. Just keep going. It's fine.
Okay. I've been trying to figure out the whole deal with this for a while, actually, because it feels like his response is too extreme. It feels like even if you despair of being able to come up with a plan, then just do what our creep wall facer did. Be like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to use minimal resources and just like go chill somewhere because like I try my best. I want to just have a nice life, I think.
Right. And then, like, if you come up with a new plan, like, you can still try to come up with a new plan.
Yeah, percolate.
Even if you don't, it's just like, that's fine, actually.
Right. Right. It's like the sun's going to explode one day and kill all of humanity anyway. Like, unless we get out of, you know, Earth, but who knows? Anyway, the point is, eventually everyone's going to die. So, like, you know, you tried to keep it going, but didn't work. So,
yeah.
Time to chill. I think.
Okay. Can we talk about his actual plan?
Yeah. Let's talk about the actual Tyler plan. The first broken plan.
Yes. We don't necessarily have to go into the details of it, but what the part that I have a note on is a big part of it relies on them giving a gift to the Trisolarans.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, the big gift would be, you know, they have to rehydrate people. They're probably sick of their stale ass water that they have on the ship. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring them a nice, sweet, fresh new iceberg.
A nice crispy Dasani.
From like, I don't know if, from one of the moons of
from the shores of Jupiter, Europa.
I think. Yes. From Europa. You know I'm gonna do a water thing.
Of course you have to, Luke. Come on.
What is the difference?
It's stale though, Luke.
You can't just be like, oh, the water is stale. It's what stale. Do you mean? What is that? What are you talking about? It's fine. It's water.
What do you mean? You know, like when you leave water out for a while and it gets all stale.
Yeah, they just. You think that they're just like, just loosey goosey. Being like, oh, that cup of water that's been sitting out for the last 400 years, rehydrate me in that one. No. They have... Also, like, even if you're going to be like, we don't want to do... Like, maybe they have stale water on their ship.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to get the water from Europa.
Yeah, you do.
Just it's send like... them some water from Earth.
Okay, Luke. You obviously don't understand... water marketing. Are you familiar with the water brand Fiji?
Okay, I realize that this is vibes based.
Now imagine instead of Fiji, it was Europa. even more exotic, even more crisp, even more luxurious. Okay? This water came from millions and millions of kilometers away.
Right.
Just for you. Specifically for you. The cleanest water we got.
It's not. It's not the cleanest water you've got.
It's the cleanest water we've got.
It's absolutely not. That's incorrect.
No fish has ever peed this water out. Guaranteed. Or your money back. Can you say that about any earth water? Absolutely not. I think all earth water has been peed out like two or three times at this point.
Okay.
Right? Is that right? You're a water guy. You tell me if I'm right.
I don't know the exact number.
What's the pee number somewhere, on water?
Somewhere around there. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess it bothers me that his entire plan revolves solely on the Trisolarans being like, oh, sweet. I like Europa water. When like it's just completely illogical.
Yeah.
Like I realize that it's vibes based where it's like that water feels more pure to me. But you're talking about like a highly advanced species who has like come across, and this is like, are we going to let the theoretical enemy come close just so we can get some of that water that is the same as the water that we have on board? No.
Okay, this is the equivalent. Also, they're like, once they're in the solar system, they're like 10 minutes away from Earth. They're like almost there anyway. The equivalent of like, it's the equivalent of like stopping at a stoplight that's like two blocks from your house and having a random person come up to your car window and be like, hey, do you want some water? Hey, do you want to buy a bottle of water?
And then, but let me add to that. But you already have a bottle of water in your car.
Yeah. And you know that there's water at home that's free and you're going to be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No.
It's so stupid. This is why, like, no one really talks about it, but like, people kind of complain about the plan, I think, as like giving up on humanity in a way. Whereas the real critique is like, oh, this was just straightforwardly a bad plan, dude.
This is why I feel like it's stupid for this guy to have killed himself. Because all you have to do if you come up with a horrendous plan is just give him the wall face or smile and be like, oh yeah, that's my plan.
Right.
And then
you gotta know on the day that you hear of wall breakers as a concept, you gotta be like, okay, when I see my wall breaker, I'm gonna just pretend that that's not my plan.
Right. It doesn't matter. Because even if they get it right, you can be like, oh, I'm gonna pretend like you got it right. And then quickly reformulate a new plan.
Right.
Because, not a good plan in the first place. Bad plan.
Actually, the plan was for you to figure out my first plan. Because then I could figure out who is my wall breaker. Easy.
Smart. Really smart. I also think it's absurd that... So, how do I want to say this? Tyler comes up with a really bad plan. Mm-hmm. If I'm his wall breaker, I'm so skeptical that that's the real plan.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm his wall breaker and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is his plan, but like... That's not gonna work. And he's gotta know that, right? Like, he has to know that this isn't gonna work. So, what is the plan? I feel like it's the perfect feint. It's the perfect feint to, like, fake a bad plan, but earnestly.
Right.
Because as a wall breaker, that is killing me. I'm like, I think I've figured it out. I can't imagine what else it could be, but it's a bad plan.
Yeah, you'd be second guessing yourself so much.
I'd be like, all the evidence points to this being the plan, but he would have to be an idiot for this to be the plan. There's no way. I've got to be missing something.
Right.
Tough plan here.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, we're talking about plans. Do you want to go ahead and talk about the second plan?
Yeah. The one that got wall broken as well, right?
Yes, the other wall broken plan. This is the plan where they're going to blow up Mercury with the nukes and then essentially destroy the whole solar system. So this was like sort of like what the plan was that I was gonna guess. Like, I thought he was gonna hold Earth hostage. Like, I thought he was gonna say, I've got a nuke big enough to blow up the whole Earth, so stay away, otherwise I'm gonna do it. And I was like, oh, they could just live on any of the other planets, so it's not a big deal. This is obviously a little bit more complicated than that, right?
Yeah.
But then they tell him it's not even enough, like he didn't even do the calculation right to where it's not even gonna work.
Right.
I feel like that has to be step one, guy. Like, you have to at least figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like, especially because the amount that he was asking for, everyone was like, oh, we like cannot get that much.
Right. Right. Like, try another plan, guy.
It felt like he was just like, I would need a lot of it.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's probably, this is a crazy amount. That's probably going to, well, that would be enough, I bet.
He was just estimating. This is the problem with the Wallfacer project, is you got to do it all mental math.
Ooh, yeah, this
you know,
is true.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't ever be like, let me just write down a quick calculation, like covered up with your hand. Like, don't peek, don't look.
Well, the thing that I'm finding is that like this one especially like did not need to be secret from the Trisolans. It needed to be a secret from like humanity, basically.
This is true. Although if that's the case, then the Trisolarians are just going to tell everybody right away, which is what they do.
Right. Sure. Okay. Yes, that's fair.
Okay. But honestly, Luke, I don't understand why people can't see the reality of the plan. Like, I don't feel like I would be that upset at this guy, because his intention is not to actually use it. Like, his intention is not to actually destroy the solar system. His intention is just to threaten it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, part of it feels sort of defeatist, because he's like, this is our only option, is to threaten to blow everything up. But also, like, it's not like he's saying, hey, everyone, I'm going to kill you all. He's instead saying, I'm holding us all hostage because I think this is an effective way of bargaining.
Okay. I still don't want to do that plan, though.
Okay. Based on the number of resources that he is asking for, yes, it feels like a bad plan, because it feels like it's a... I don't know.
Because even if it works, yeah, right? Let's say it works as well as it possibly could, mm-hmm, and the Trisolans are like, oh, okay, then what happens? Do they like live peacefully or something?
I think that's an option, right? I think there's an option of they show up and they're like, okay, well, we can't take you over, because if we do... Or they're like, we're going to try and find a way to still take you over, but it's not going to be as quick.
It's just like, it doesn't work, though. It just doesn't, even if you negotiate it to where when they get there, they're not going to kill you. You cannot like build a like joint civilization
based on that. You're right. But I think you do have a lot of leverage, right? Because they've already revealed that this is a death march, right? They've already revealed that they are like, this is one of their last hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And that the planetary system is extremely valuable to them.
Right.
So if you can hold that hostage, because they're going to destroy you when they get there. And so it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You might as well try to hold it hostage, right? He's taking advantage of the literal only bargaining chip that we have, which is the location.
Yes, but just like, no one wants to do that, I don't think. Like,
okay, but like our psychologist, like our neurologist said, we're going to have to make some sacrifices with what we want to do. This is a war. We're going to have to sacrifice a few things. One of them might be our feeling of safety a little bit. Especially given the odds, right? Nobody thinks we're actually going to be able to do this. Like, the biggest problem they're all facing is people being like, there's no way we're going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And I feel like if those are the odds, you have to do some crazy shit. You have to be like, yeah, this is sort of the position we're in.
I mean, I definitely understand the logic. I don't know. I just don't like it.
I guess I just don't.
And also, I think, yeah. I think a big part of it also is that, like, it's entirely in this guy's hands, who, like, kind of already nobody really likes.
Well, I think the, like, Western powers don't like. Like, the U.S., right. Europe, U.K., they don't like him because he's from Venezuela, right? He's sort of representing the developing world.
Well, I don't know if he's I think that they were in conflict with, like, the U.S. and stuff like that. I don't know if he's necessarily a representative of the developing world, though.
Okay, when they assigned the wall facers, they were talking about how each of them was sort of, like, in order to politically make it work, they were from sort of different spheres in the world, different sort of, like, areas. Yeah. And at least our, like, creep wallfacer was describing him as the, like, developing world's representative among the wallfacers. I guess it's just annoying how no one can really, like, appreciate that. Like, he doesn't hate humanity. He's not trying to destroy the world, right?
Right.
If he wanted to do that, he would have just, like, he wouldn't need that many nukes. He would only need, like, two, and he'd have them on Earth. Like, he's not trying to destroy humanity, okay? He is trying his best to do the job you gave him to do, frankly.
I still think he did a bad job.
I'm more sympathetic, but I do think the fact that he didn't do the math properly is just showing the limitations of this project.
Yeah. I don't know. And yeah, again, I definitely understand the logic behind it, but we can't do this. I guess I just, like, I don't want this to be the wall facer project. You know what I mean? Like, I could be like, okay, someone's gotta, like, I understand if I'm a normal person in this world, we have all these other plans going on, but just in case we have this, like, dead man switch thing, in case nothing else, I don't want it to be the wall facer one, because the wall facer one is like, this is the one that we have kind of hope in. And I feel like it's kind of a betrayal in that sense.
I see. The wall facer one is the one you're supposed to be like, I don't know what this plan is going to be, so I can hope for the best. Like, I can hope that this plan is going to be miraculous and...
Right, because they're already viewed as kind of like superheroes because of just the structure of the project.
Oh, interesting. This is another option for these wall facers, right? Is to transition, to pivot, to just being like, yeah, I'm coming up with the best fucking shit. Like, you guys are going to fucking love it. And just boost morale for everybody.
Yeah,
like, these wall facers could be like, hey guys, I can't show you the plan because, you know, but it's fucking sick.
Just be seen in public, like, getting hyped.
Yeah, just be like, you guys, we are crushing it. Hey DJ, play my favorite song, it's part of the plan, let's go.
This is a good point.
You're like, everybody, we're having a dance party, part of the plan. Let's go nuts with it.
Go out and just, like, do some like Tiger Woods style, like, fist bumps or fist pumps, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You go in Times Square and you're just, like, loving it. You're just like, you guys, I just got it. I cracked it, guys. Right. I cracked it.
Well, this is a good transition into the third plan that we've come to. Which is, I realize it's not the main point of the plan, but it's where we are at this point, where they have found a way to make people believe a statement.
Correct.
Right. And they're using it to give people faith in victory, or at least they're trying to.
They're trying to. Yeah.
And so there's a very visceral reaction by a lot of the people from this one. And I kind of get that. My main qualm with it actually is not the concept necessarily. It's that the phrase that they chose was terrible.
This is my big note about it as well, Luke. Simple, you gotta go simple, guys. This is too much. You're saying too much here.
And also, like, the you have to say, like, with great, like, effort,
yes,
humanity can win this war.
Yes. Yes.
You can't just say, like, humanity will kill them, whatever, whatever. Because that doesn't, like, get you to your goal. That just, like, makes people be like, nice. I don't have to work for it then, right? You need to have the, like, with great effort, we can win thing.
Yes. Yes. Or, like, not even that. I feel like it could be even softer. It can just be, like, humanity has a decent chance.
Mm.
Humanity, yeah. The odds might not even be in our favor. It might be, like, you know, it's a long shot. But, like, there is a real chance that humanity can win.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's even, that can be good. People love an underdog.
Exactly. And, like, but to say that we will win and Earth will be around for, like, 10,000 generations or whatever? What? Yeah,
terrible.
So many things wrapped up in that you've just done. Oh. I mean, you know that they came up with this in committee. Where it was just like, yeah, everybody's got to get their pork barrel and the belief statement.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, oh, also we'll have pennies manufactured in Indiana. And it's like, what are you talking about? No, we can't put that in there.
Yeah. It's a terrible statement.
And even the like, okay. The aesthetics of this building are even terrible. Like, they have a mini Statue of Liberty out front.
Dude, I was so mad about the mini Statue of Liberty.
No! Go away! Go away! What is this, like? Oh, this is horrible. Horrible.
And they had a little... They tweaked the poem? No. Absolutely not.
Don't do that!
Absolutely not. Unacceptable.
Oh, my gosh. Come up with a new thing. This is a brand new thing. You need to, like, have a thing that is relevant to the people at this time. Like, you need to... Commission a new artist. Commission somebody else.
Also, like, the main thing that people have against this,
yeah,
which the author says in relation to the Statue of Liberty, is that it's, like, kind of taking people's freedoms away, uh-huh, in a way.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you can't just be like, oh, no, but the Statue of Liberty is here. I feel like people would immediately be like, oh, that's kind of offensive.
Right.
To me.
Right.
Also, the poem is, like, sacred.
Yeah. You can't just write, like, a Weird Al parody of the original poem and be like, ah, job's done, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, there's such an opportunity, such a missed opportunity for these people to be like, let's hire an artist who's struggling with these exact things that we want to try and convey to the people. Like, yeah, this despair and that's working through hope. And, like, let's... get something new instead of just recycling freaking Statue of Liberty that's in the harbor. There's another one right over there. It feels like such a touristy, like, come see the mini Statue of Liberty. And they, right, talk about it like this place is going to be sacred someday. It's like, I hope not. Oh,
right. It feels like it's in Vegas.
Exactly. This is exactly what I was thinking. With like a mini Eiffel Tower and like a, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like how you create a society of psychos.
Do you have issues with the actual concept?
Kind of, because I feel like anytime you constrain someone's thinking in a really rigid way like this, you're setting up a roadblock.
Yeah, I think my issue was that, like, they didn't really test it out that much. Especially true. Like this, especially this phrase.
Yeah,
they should have just been like, all right, we're gonna test this out with like 5 volunteers for like, mm-hmm, a few years.
Yeah,
see what happens then, and then if it goes well, we'll open it up to more people in the service.
Right This is true. And maybe they do tweak it over time, because we don't really see what happens over time yet.
Right.
So maybe they are tweaking this over time, because the first few are like cool to just party all day and they're like, ah, we went too far. Let's tone it back.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like they are not solving the problem in the way that humans have always solved the problem of like a hopeless situation, which is like, I don't know, coming up with art and ways of dealing with it. Like, this is not the first time people have faced a dire future. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like to say the only way to get around this is to mess with their brains so they can't imagine that dire future is hindering us. It's like, it's not the solution that we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like a scientist's solution to the problem when it's like, ah, that's actually not your role anymore.
This is so true. Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is why we got to keep funding the arts, guys. This is why the arts still matter in this world.
Actually, so this, I don't know if this connection is going to make sense to you, but I have another note, which is they talk about how to build this space force and this defense thing, they have to expend like tons and tons of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making it like just naturally stems from that the conditions for like the regular person is going to degrade. And they say by like, it's going to go back by like a century or something. Does that have to be the case? Like, I get the logic where like, if you're spending a bunch of money on something that's not really like a product in the traditional sense, that's bad and bad for the economy. But like, I feel like it doesn't have to do, like, you could work out to make it okay, couldn't you?
Okay, if we imagine that there are limited resources, right? The limited resources being like human labor. Like, there's only so much human labor that we can do. And if you imagine that a lot of that human labor we're trying to redirect to a project that doesn't necessarily benefit people's lives in the current day, it makes sense to me that like the amount of labor right now that we are expending, a lot of it goes to just like making our lives better, right? Like having good food and like living in a nice house. And I feel like there's a lot of labor that's expended to having nice things that if we were at war would get quickly redirected to something that's like this big project. Do you know what I mean?
I do agree with this. And I know that there is like precedent for this. But like as the population increases, it actually kind of solves the problem.
Yeah, right? But I think that's just more labor to dedicate to the war effort, at least.
Yeah.
In the mind. But then
like you just plan
humanity.
For that though, right? Like just be like, okay, if we are actually going to value people's like current lived experience, which I feel like they would. If they're caring this much about like defeatism, I feel like there would also be being like, okay, we do have to make people's lives still decent.
I mean, and I think so people's lives are still decent, right? I mean,
they say it goes back like a century. So like depending on what, like living in like the 1920s, for example, is what they're viewing it. But like food shouldn't be a problem, I don't think.
Yeah, but like, okay, I agree with you, but I also think right now there's a lot of food waste because there's a lot of people that can afford to be farmers. We subsidize a lot of farms. If instead we were like, hey, this is the amount of food that our labor force needs, we are producing that much food and the rest of the labor is going to go to making rockets or whatever. Right? Like,
I feel like the bottleneck is more technology and not like actual labor.
Maybe.
We're kind of guessing here at that point. So it's hard to say. How about this? Anyone that's working on AI, or if you're working at Facebook or Meta, do this now.
I see what you're saying. I see. The pivot.
There's a lot
happens.
Of stuff that we do that does not benefit humanity.
Oh, Luke thinks social media is bad for us. Shocker.
Right? Yeah. Everyone that's trying to get me to click on an ad... can start working on the missile defenses and
yeah, but then how did
would be great,
but then how do the products get made that the ads advertising for, Luke?
I don't care. I Get him out. Get him out of here.
Luke doesn't want an egg yolk.
We're separated. Going to a subscriber system. No more ad-supported businesses.
Wow. Wow. Luke hates freedom. This just in.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
Do you think that the Wall Breaker figured out their plan, or do you think the Wall Breaker was just like, oh yeah, they should do that?
Wait, which, what do you mean?
So this plan that they have is that they develop this neural thing and they start trying to defeat defeatism by changing people's brains. They don't encounter the Wall Breaker.
Right.
And they go to the long sleep. I think it's the sleep until doomsday is what I understand it to be.
Yeah.
So their Wall Breaker doesn't really have an opportunity to break their plan.
Right. Because they didn't really have a plan, honestly.
Do you think, well, they got a plan at the end, and the plan was we're going to change people's brains.
Right.
I guess they sort of bring that out into the open, but
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think their Wall Breaker's doing? Do you think their Wall Breaker's just like, oh, I figured it out, and they told everyone? Oh. Huh.
Yeah, because, I mean, they came, like, it was kind of an accidental discovery. Yeah. They were never really hiding anything.
That's true. Which feels weird about, like, why
yeah,
did
not
they...
Really, it's not the concept. You missed the concept of the Wall Facer.
Yeah. Yeah, you sort of missed it entirely. You just took advantage of, like, a sick grant funding opportunity.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like their Wall Breaker probably just like, I feel like they let it happen, which is concerning. I feel like the Wall Breaker could have tried to stop this from happening.
Yeah, but I the Wall Breaker doesn't have any specialized knowledge on how this is going to turn out either, though.
Yeah, but they are in contact with the Trisolarians, which is what every Wall Breaker says.
Yeah, but they have even less. Like, no one knows how this is going to affect people. And the Trisolarians especially don't, because they don't understand humanity at all. So, like, no. I feel like the fact that they didn't do anything doesn't mean any, like...
Okay, and this is getting back to the big picture idea here that I'm trying to... I've been trying to figure out why are we even doing Wall Breakers? Because what the Wall Breakers essentially do... is they go up to the Wall Facers and say, hey, I figured out your whole shit. And then the Wall Facer inevitably says, okay, well, what if that's not even it? How do you know? And then the Wall Breaker says, yeah, well, the Trisolarians know and they don't care. And that's the like devastating blow. That's the thing that it's like, if that was your plan, the aliens know and they have decided it doesn't matter. They've decided that they're not going to do anything in response. So it was a bad plan. It was a plan that isn't going to have an impact. I feel like plans that are going to have an impact, they're like trying to stop. And it feels like that's why our creep Wall Facer, they tried to murder.
Right.
Because they are concerned that that plan is going to have an impact. So why even make Wall Breakers? Like, why even make people who are totally busting the balls of these Wall Facers for no reason? They're already like, I mean, their plan isn't gonna work, so go tell them.
I see what you're saying. You're saying, like, I think that the Wall Breakers should, from the perspective of the Trisolarians, you should hire Wall Breakers, let's say, but they just shouldn't tell their Wall Facer that they figured out the plan.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, it just... Then you give them an opportunity to come up with a new plan. Or, like, you know, if you hear about the plan and you're like, oh, yeah, that's not really going to make a difference, let it go forward. Don't tell them.
I mean, this goes back to our original note, which is like, if the Wall Breaker comes for you, oh, okay, just make a new plan.
Right. Right. And so if the, like, Trisolarians don't care about any of these plans, do Wall Breakers stay home. Wall Breakers are chilling.
Yeah. Retire early. Just be like, yeah, figured out the plan.
Figure out the plan. I'm gonna go to Fiji. I'll see you guys when you get here.
Yeah.
Alternative, Luke. It's a double bluff. They're like, hey, the Trisolarians really don't care about your plan, but internally they're like, fuck, I hope they believe me.
This is a great plan.
They're like, this plan was gonna totally work. Fuck.
Right. This is what they should have done for our creep, our main character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They should have been like, oh, that was stupid, my guy. We are no longer concerned about you.
I think the problem is, though, they have to reveal what the plan is that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this plan that he's going to come up with is so devastating that just the knowledge of it is the problem.
Right.
It's not the implementation. It's just the knowledge of the plan.
Yes, I think you're right. Thoughts on what it is?
Okay, I have talked to people about this before, and I think I kind of know what it is.
As in you have cheated, or?
I don't necessarily say I've cheated, but I've heard from people who've read this before, like, kind of what the plan is. And it's related to the title of the book.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if I should say, because I'm pretty sure
I think don't say.
Okay. What do you think it is?
My thought was that I was getting the vibe that he was like sending out the location of this other world to see if there's like a third civilization that's going to come down and like bomb that world, basically.
Why?
Or do something to that world.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it definitely seems like he's trying to get something to happen to that world. And it also feels like there's got to be somebody else out there.
Right.
Yeah. But I think the question is just like, why would they do that?
Yeah. I limited resources or something? I don't know.
I guess
the idea that if you're a civilization that has advanced really far, you try to prevent other civilizations from advancing as far as you, because then you're going to be in conflict with them. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Oh, right, because those are the two premises, right? Is that civilizations want to survive and there's limited resources?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That was my theory. Like that he called it a spell.
Oh, yeah. The vibes were very on point.
And also that everyone's like really hyped about him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they sent the fleet the day that he sent the spell.
The fleet?
The Trisolarans send a second fleet.
Oh, the probes.
Or not fleet, but like more probes.
Yeah.
that was a mistake, I think, because now as a person, if I hear about that, I'm hyped. I'm like, oh boy, we've got a shot.
I know, exactly. Well, I think part of the problem is, right, that they can't lie, right?
Yeah.
So they are telegraphing their intentions with all of their decisions because they don't know how to be, like, duplicitous. And absolutely. As a person, if I hear about that, I'm so stoked. I'm like, oh, they're trying to get here sooner? Ho-ho, keep it up. Whatever we're doing. What did I have for breakfast yesterday? I'm doing it again.
Right. I will say, like, until this happened, I was getting a little lethargic with the book. But now that our creep is onto something, I'm very into it.
I know. It's exciting. It's exciting to see what the creep's coming up with. So in order to get our creep to come up with his big plan, they have to kidnap. Not even kidnap. They have to have tricked him, which he's still a creep. And also I'm concerned that the author is like down with it. I'm concerned that the author is like, yeah. This is a cool situation that's set up. The UN guy, I just love the UN lady coming up to him after like 5 years and him having this great family and being like, hey, we gotcha. Hey, we clocked you from day one, buddy. We got you.
Do you think that they like plastic surgeried this person?
Ooh.
This woman?
I think there's a good chance that they did, but I don't know. I just feel like the number of people on Earth, they could probably find they probably got a pool of people together. They did a little jury selection here is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Is they found a bunch of people with the same features that he's looking for. And then we're like, okay, hands up if you think that Earth should survive. Okay, those. If you didn't put your hand up, you can leave. And then they just narrowed it down to like four people. And we're like, all right, now what we're going to ask you to do is kind of fucked up.
Do you think that this guy is kind of handsome? Because you need to.
Do you think you could fall in love with this guy? Because we do need you to actually fall in love with this guy. Would you swipe right?
He's cool.
He's very cool. He knows about art.
He's great house. Did I say that?
Cool house. He's got a vivid imagination.
That's right. I think you're right. That's probably what. Do you think it was like they found someone that was perfect, except for she had like slightly the wrong hair color, and they're like, ooh, ah, we gotta dye it.
Yeah,
are we gonna dye this person's hair, or are we gonna find another?
I think you can't dye it because they find out you've got a prosthetic wig.
Oh yeah.
So you've got to like shave her whole head, laser surgery, get all the follicles out, and then glue, super glue a wig on.
Yep.
Because that way it's, right, you don't have to worry about him finding a bunch of dye in the bathroom one day and being like, what the fuck?
It's a lot of effort to go through.
Yeah, for it's our worth creep. It though. It's worth it.
Comes up with a cool plan, a cool spell.
He does. Well, and I think everybody realizes, like the UN people realize, the reason he was selected is they're trying to kill him, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they all know, they're like, we gotta keep this guy safe because this guy's the one.
I like it. I'm into it.
We just gotta get him to care. We just gotta get this guy to care, and he's gonna pop off.
Yeah. Which again, you gotta do. It just goes to show that we were right, and like, if you're the wall facer, you gotta get going on some weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, actually, another side note. So, he has a little like realization.
Yeah.
In a specific moment when he like falls through the ice.
Yeah.
And then there's an analogy where, the wife of the other wall facer, I forget his name, but they're kind of a team in this.
The neurologist. They hibernate. One. Yeah.
Yeah. They hibernate, and she gets some realization right when it's too late.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like if people say they're going to hibernate, especially a wall facer, if they say they're going to hibernate for a super long time, don't you kind of like check in every now and then? Like give them some updates. Like, I'm going to thaw you out after 100 years. I know you don't want me to, but like.
Okay. I feel like it's irresponsible on their part, right? I feel like if
on the wall facer's part?
Yes, because I feel like if you are the ones following their orders, like if they tell me they're going to hibernate until doomsday, it's part of their plan. I'm doing it because they know more than I do and they can't tell me. So I'm like, okay, we got you. But yeah, they definitely, especially when you're fucking with society in the way that they did, where they're like trying to steer it in a particular direction, in a very particular direction. You check in like very periodically. And listen, you don't have to spend a lot of time. You wake up, maybe spend a couple weeks walking around. Like in the show, how he's like, I'm going to wake up once a week every year. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, do that. You don't need to be like, yeah, I'm going down for the whole time. You guys, it's on you.
Also, like, I want to come in every, give me some long periods. Give me 50 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. Waking up every 50 years. Like, what's the vibe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
curious.
Yeah. Totally.
Who won the Super Bowl this year?
Are you guys still doing that?
Do people like me? Yeah? Okay. Put me back down.
Yeah, totally agree. It's so risky. It's so risky to say I'm going to go 400 years into the future.
Yeah.
So part of the thing that I'm wondering, though, so our creep.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the danger here is the knowledge that he comes up with, right? It's the thing that it has nothing to do with a process. It has to do with an awareness about something.
Yes.
He seems to have achieved this awareness.
Yeah.
The Trisolarians also have this awareness because they have to know what he is like potentially stumbling upon to know that it's dangerous. So he's not hiding it from them. I'm getting on the news.
Yeah.
I'm being like, guys, I think I figured it out.
Right. I mean, it kind of, we don't know what it is yet, so maybe for that reason there's something preventing it.
Maybe.
But if I'm thinking of the same way you are, which is just like, I'm telling, even if it's not just like getting on the news, like I'm telling some people.
Right. Well, and he is sort of revealing his hand because he's like doing an experiment.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I'm in the room where he's, I feel like if I'm one of the scientists part of the experiment, I'm like, why is he doing this? Let's see if we can reverse engineer it. And I feel like you've sort of figured out what it could be.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's, because he goes down for a long time.
Yes. Yes. He wants to like see signals that come back in like 100 years or whatever.
So like within that, people are going to try to figure out what the reason for it. And I feel like it's going to be pretty easy to.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially considering like the things that he knows are not that hard to figure out for yourself, right? Like these two axioms that somebody gave him, it's like, okay, sure. Like that, that's not that outlandish for you to come up with.
Right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe we're just at a point where people are tired of the wall facers and they just don't really care. They're like, whatever, I don't really care what this guy's doing. These guys are all a bunch of psychopaths.
Well, until like people try to kill him really like a lot and they send the fleet. At that point, I'm like, all right, we've got to figure out
what
this was about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Luke. I think somebody's got to figure it out.
Hopefully we can. Hopefully we get to.
We'll see. We'll see. So, Luke, we've got a little bit bigger of a section to read here. I did peek at like the first page after this part. Big time jump here.
Oh, nice. Love a time jump.
I think we're going to find out some cool stuff in the future. Some spicy deets in the future. So curious to see how this whole faith engineering thing works. Curious to see what this big plan is that we got cooking up.
Yep.
So Luke, we're gonna have to go into hibernation. But but we'll be back next week, and when we come out, we're gonna be bringing some hot takes
and still being dumb nerds.